This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Halloween is tomorrow, and Wisconsin has its full share of ghost stories, and nobody knows them better than our next guest.
Michael Norman joins us now. He's Professor Emeritus of Journalism at the University of Wisconsin River Falls and the co-author of the book Haunted Wisconsin and Haunted Heartland, among other books on ghostly subjects. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what first got you interested in Wisconsin hauntings?
Well, my late co-author, Beth Scott, and I simply wanted to do a book. It's kind of a boring story. We wanted to do a nonfiction book about Wisconsin in our sort of research looking, what are we going to write about? We came across a comment by the late folklorist and author Robert Gard that, in his opinion, Wisconsin had more ghosts per square mile than any other state. I pointed this out to Beth, and I thought, well, if we could prove that some way or maybe investigate this. No one had ever done a collection of ghost stories from Wisconsin. And if Boy Scout troops bought them to tell over campfires or Girl Scout troops, we might sell a few copies. So that's sort of how it began, with that interest. His interest was folklore, legendary yarns, he called them. And then we broadened that to include contemporary stories. It's not enough to have a 100-year-old story. What about today?
As you started digging, did it seem like Wisconsin really was a ghost-rich environment?
Digging with no pun intended.
Right. No literal digging.
I don't know. We were never able to prove or disprove his comment, what he wrote. We did find about 67 stories that we included in the first edition 34 years ago, actually, in 1980. The third edition is out a few years ago from the University of Wisconsin Press. I think we found enough. Certainly within the last 20 years or so, there's been more interest in it.
Now, when you wrote Haunted Wisconsin back in 1980, you had never seen a ghost. Mm. Any change in your status since then?
Haven't seen a ghost. I had one auditory something that happened to me.
All right, what is it? You got to tell us.
Briefly, because it can get complicated. Briefly, I was doing a play at the campus theater in River Falls. And this theater is supposed to be haunted by the ghost of a professor who was a key in designing that theater. And he's been seen by a current theater professor there, actually. And I was doing a show before a summer stock season, and I was on stage with an actress doing a two-person show, when from backstage I heard someone strum a ukulele. And the ukulele was on the prop table backstage, and there was no one backstage. We had just been out there for intermission, or back there for intermission. No one was there, and yet I heard distinctly what sounded like someone strumming a ukulele, which is a unique sound. I would have, when the show ended, I ran backstage to look around. Again, doors were locked. And I would have dismissed it if the house manager, who was standing at the back of the theater, and the stage manager, who was in the light booth listening to us on his headphones, both came up to me after the show and wondered who made that ukulele strum coming from backstage. They heard it, one at the back of the theater and then one over headphones. The three of us were never able to figure out what it was. And I still can't to this day.
Well, no, you mentioned, the older stories versus the newer ones. Mm. And if you think back to the 19th century, most of us are in candle or lantern light, walking at night. Maybe it was a more ripe time for potential ghost sightings. Do we have too much technology, too much distraction around us to spot these things these days?
Oh, boy, I don't think so.
No.
Not if you judge all the... I think there are cable channels that are just stocked with ghost hunters and hauntings and all kinds of series. You can spend evenings binging on these kinds of shows. So I don't think so. I think with some of the folklore, the Ridgeway Ghost, probably the most famous ghost in folklore in Wisconsin from southwest part of the state, that was certainly 19th century because you were traveling at night with a lantern held high or nothing, just trying to get by from the moonshine. And so you could believe. You didn't really know what was out there. People were superstitious. We didn't know what we know today about science. But even today now, There's been no scientific evidence that the paranormal exists. It hasn't occurred, and yet, consistently, anywhere from a third to almost a half of people surveyed in this country believe that there can be ghosts or hauntings. And you hear enough anecdotal evidence or anecdotal sort of stories from people that you trust. They say, oh, you know, I'm not so sure. Wait a minute. Let me tell you what happened in that apartment I was living in, you know, over on State Street. And, you know, and then they tell you, and, you know, they might add, well, now that doesn't mean I don't believe in ghosts, but, you know, it happened to me, honestly. So I don't think so. And I think the technology, especially with these television shows, in which they bring in all kinds of blinking lights and meters, and I have no idea what they all are. I mean, it seems like, you know, ripe pickings today.
You talked about the Ridgway ghost as being one of the most famous, and that's one we've talked about on the show before. Are there other less well-known Wisconsin ghost stories?
Well, I'd like to think that all of the ones in Haunted Wisconsin are probably less well-known because not everyone has read them.
You want to pick one of your favorites?
Oh, boy. You know, that's hard. There's another very well-known one in Vilas County called Summer Wind, about a mansion that was said to have changed shape and burned down about 20 years ago. I did a new version of that in the current edition of Haunted Wisconsin. I think that's, you know, relatively, you know, well-known. There are others. There are some, you know, restaurants, you know, that are haunted. It's hard to pick out one. We were talking before the show about, you know, the ghost stories at River Falls, you know, where I was, and that, you know, in the university center, they've even painted a mural with a ghost peeking out of a window in a building on campus that's no longer there. That had a ghost legend, ghost story connected with it.
What was that legend? I was up there and I remember hearing it and I've forgotten now, I'm afraid to say. So it wasn't the same ghost that played the ukulele in the theaters.
Oh, it could have been, right?
It could have been. Uh-huh. Yeah, it could have been traveling between the buildings. You know, you never know. This story dealt with a custodian on campus. And again, that, you know, that's one of the things that I really enjoy, finding good, solid sources, you know, who have a specific incident, and they'll say, let me tell you, this was a custodian, and I had heard about the experience she had in this building the day after it occurred from the director of custodial activities on campus, who sort of came running up to me as I walked into my office building, the building where my office was, and he said, Mike, you have to talk to so-and-so. She had a really, really strange experience yesterday in the old lab school, in the gymnasium. I didn't get around to it for a time, interviewed her, and essentially she was sitting in her small little custodial office on the first floor, and below it, this is an old lab school, laboratory school, there was a gymnasium, and from her, in her little custodial office, she heard a basketball dribbling on the court, you know, below her. And she had locked the door not long before. Hmm. And she, well, you know, who got in? So she got up, you know, walked down the steps, you know, toward the gym, opened the door. It was open. Opened it up, and she saw several basketball players kind of murky in the distance below one of the nets in old fashion baggy sort of, you know, 1930s, 40s basketball uniforms, dribbling. And as one of these whatever went up, you know, for a layup, the whole scene disappeared.
Wow.
Whole scene vanished. She shut the door, went back upstairs, and sat there for, you know, for the rest of the time. Very strange story.
My goodness, ghost basketball.
Ghost basketball, you know. And
I like the idea that ghosts want to play basketball. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are there malevolent ones? I mean, because ukuleles and basketballs, I'm okay with my ghost doing that. Are there ones where they seem to mean us harm?
Well, there are. I mean, I was talking about Summer Wind and women especially who went into that house over the years and even today claim that when they're in the area, there's a feeling of malevolence, you know, toward them more so. There's one story that's too long to go into with the time we have left, but, you know, several young women who had gone in to work a Ouija board at night when it still stood, had a very eerie experience. You know, ghost stories, the ones that you have to keep track of or you want to base on true information, the malevolence or the fear generally is, you know, comes from the person experiencing it. My view is that if something sounds too malevolent to be true, it probably isn't true. It's another Amityville horror, you know, kind of thing, where someone said, well, let's take this and this and this and put it together. And we've got a story to tell. We've got to have a book to write or, you know, TV show to do or whatever.
Well, Michael, we leave it there. So many hauntings, it sounds like, to investigate in Wisconsin. Appreciate you coming on and sharing a few of them with us.
Thank you.
That was Michael Norman, Professor Emeritus of Journalism at the University of Wisconsin River Falls, the co-author of the book Haunted Wisconsin and also Haunted Heartland.